Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Ballabha Giri Varadhari Jaya. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jauna Chira Vanatari. Jauna Chira Vanatari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pari Vrajakacharya Stutarasara Sheshi Mahare Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Nityalaya Vishnu Vishnupad Paramahansa Pari Vrajakacharya Stutarasara Sheshi Mahare Bhakti Siddhanta Sarathakur Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki. Premche Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita. Gradhar Shivasati Gora Bhakta Vinda, Siji Radha Krishna Gop Gopina, Samakon Radhakon, Giri Govardhan Ki, Shivrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Navdip Dham Ki, Jagannapuri Dham, New Raman Reti Dham, Tulsi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Yamuna Mai Ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vinda, Gloriousome Devotees, Gloriousome Devotees, Gloriousome, All Glory Shiguru and Shigauranga, Bhamanande. So we're reading here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sandashito Datra Dushtram Nishtitir Tisham Kalim Sataharam Kumsam Karna Dari Bar Labam. 22nd verse. Yeah. Of the 23rd chapter of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Idrig Kriham Tat Pasyanti. Idrigriham tat pasanti nati pritena cetasa. Nati pritena cetasa. Sarvabhuta shaya bigyam. Pravocchad kardamasvayam. idri griham tat prasanti natipitena cetasa sarva bhutasya adbhigyam pravocha kardamasvaya idre griham tat prasanti natipitena cetasa sarva bhutasya adbhigyam pravocat kardamasvaya. Okay. Idrig, such, grihang, house, tat, that, pasyanti, looking at, na, atipitena, not much pleased, jetasa, with a heart, sarvabhuta, of everyone. Ashaya abhigyaha. Understanding the heart. Pravochat. He addressed kardama. Kardama. Swayam. Personally. Translation. When he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic opulent palace with a displeased heart, Kardama Muni could understand her feelings because he could study the heart of everyone. Thus, he personally addressed his wife as follows. Purport. Devahuti had spent a long time in the hermitage, not taking much care of her body. She was covered with dirt, and her clothing was not very nice. Kardama Muni was surprised that he could produce such a palace, and similarly his wife, Devahuti, was also astonished. How could she live in that opulent palace? Kardama Muni could understand her astonishment. Thus he spoke as follows. Bandehang Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vadam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Itam Shah. Hare Krishna Kurna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantaradha Kantanamostu Te Bancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kipa Sindhu Bheva Chapati Tanam Pavani Bho Vaishnava Bho Namo Namaha Mukham Kroti Vachalam Pango Langayate Gringat Kipa Tamaham Bande Shigurum Din Taram Idrig Griham Tat Prashanti Nati Pritena Chetasa Sarvabhuta Shaya Bhigya Pravochat Kardama Swaya. When he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic opulent palace with a displeased heart, Kardama Muni could understand her feelings because he could study the heart of everyone, anyone. Thus, he personally addressed his wife as follows. So I'll have to come back tomorrow. Find out what he said. but here, at least, it says Devahuti had spent a long time in the hermitage, not taking much care of her body. She was covered with dirt, and her clothing was not very nice. There's different places where, throughout this story, which goes on for quite a while, when Devahuti here, and then later on, Devahuti will speak with her son, Kapila. But in the beginning, Devahuti was a great opulent princess living in the palace. You figure she had to be, I don't know how old, but they have different measurements of years in the Bhagavatam. But she was younger and very fastidiously dressed. And now, after many years, doesn't say exactly how many. She was dirty, and sometimes we see people dirty, right? Satcham Shocham. We devotees, especially Vaishnavas, any Brahman, anybody actually should be clean. but living in the forest, you get dirty. Even if you stay in the forest and even if you're bathing, if you don't have some kind of soap or something, you will get pretty dirty. And especially ladies or anybody, they don't like to get dirty. But she didn't notice it. She was so absorbed in her service. Sivanu rupa mudayo na paravaratvam. Some say vayar. Everything's based on this service. Otherwise, in the material world, everyone's doing some service. They may be dressed very nicely. And as soon as they open their mouth, Chanakya Pandita has one shloka like that. You can see they're a fool. Lamba, sata, vrata. They're dressed very nicely. But mudha, they show their mudha. So we have many mudhas, especially in Kali Yuga. And not only are they mudhas speaking all nonsense and dressing very nicely, they may not. What they think is clean is opposite of what Vaishnavas or Brahmanas would say is clean, you know. Prasadanam in the 12th canto, Shukadeva has a prediction that in Kali Yuga, if one simply takes a regular bath, he'll consider it. But the strict high Vedic system is that one not only bathes, but he puts on flower garland and so much sandalwood paste. What to speak if you are a queen, so many perfumes, you're attended by various other girls, so that's going to happen also. As the story plays out, so and sadhus are sometimes not. They see that in India, sadhus they don't get a chant. They don't buy soap. They may not even be devotees, but they don't bother with this thing. They wear just a simple cloth, and the cloth may be washed in the river. River's not so clean. There's mud in the river, so what they're doing, they're looking quite disheveled, and it's also described that Devahuti had hair. Prabhupada mentioned that for a woman to have matted locks is very, very not considered very nice at all. You see people with matted locks, jada, this is called jada. In a lecture in Bombay, in Juhu, actually, Prabhupada was lecturing, somehow I remember this, it's the only thing I remember, but I remember they said, he wanted to make a point about this. He was describing in the seventh canon, Nard Muni, he's describing how the brahmachari goes dressed in bark The Vanaprastha is also described, you know, we don't really follow this in this day and age, but we follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he become gentle. When Sanatana Goswami came and there was a Tapan Mishra, he could not even distinguish. He looked outside, there was people there, and there was in front of his house, there was somebody. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go out, you know, Sanatana Goswami is right outside of your house. So when he went out, he came back, he said, I don't see Sanatana Goswami there at all. So he walked out and embraced Sanatana Goswami, but Sanatana Goswami was, he had been given a very nice blanket, that's one thing, but you know, he was not, he looked like some Muslim mendicant, the beard. The sadhus, Vaishnava sadhus, they don't dress like that. So Prabhupada was saying in Juhu at that time that this jada to have matted locks is not recommended by Mahaprabhu. We don't follow the system. He said, we follow the system of clean shaving. So when Mahaprabhu said to go and make him gentle, make gentle means to make him look a gentleman. Gentleman means clean shaven. And also, he should have clean cloth. So he had, so Sanatana Goswami, finally, of course, he had the fancy blanket, which Mahaprabhu didn't exactly approve of. He just glanced at it. If Mahaprabhu's glancing at something, you better watch out by that glance. So this system of, if one is so absorbed, that's okay. One doesn't cut nails. There's so many descriptions. In fact, Krishna describes again in the 11th canto this such a high level of renunciation that if one has a fire, a sacrificial fire, and he's getting old, feeble, and he just enter the fire, and we're thinking, oh my God, did Krishna just say that? But actually, yeah, there's one getting feeble, the word, I forget the words are used, and he just, the fire's there, he just enters the fire. No big thing, you know, you're just old, so you enter the fire. So we don't follow these things exactly. Practically, you'll get arrested. Well, not if you're burned up, but arrested for suicide. And another thing here is astonished that they were astonished. You know, like Brahmaji, even Krishna gets astonished sometimes when he sees the demons and is he's amazed at the mystic power of Maya that some was that demon who brought Dantavakra, he brought Krishna's father in front and looked like he killed him, cut his head off. There's your father, I'm cutting his head off. Was that demon, Dantavakra, huh? Salva. And he had an airplane too. What was he doing? He was doing all nonsense, trying to destroy Dwarka city. And yeah, Salva. So sometimes the Brahmaji, there's the boar incarnation comes out and he's like amazed, you know. What is this little boar? And I don't know what this is. So sometimes the mystic power is just coming naturally. So Prabhupada sometimes would exhibit a little bit of mystic power. Ashtardi yuktam na punapavamba, punapavamba. Nakame tam gatim ishvara param. There's many prayers that describe that the Vaishnavas are not interested in mystic power, but Kardama Muni is doing it. But wow, he's so powerful, there's so much mystic power that it just comes and he doesn't even know how it happens, not trying to do it. Yeah, so Ranti Dev's prayers, I was thinking of, but there's other prayers similar where Nakama Hangatim Ishwar Param, the Vaishnavas, and Ranti Dev is very exemplary, that I have no desire for any of these. Ashtadi Yuktam Napunavamba. It means all mystic powers. And Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his one of his prayers, he said, even if all mystic powers come right into my hands and I'm able to, if I have a form like Vishnu, none of that thing, nothing important. Only I want to see Yat Karunya Kataksha, Vaibhavatantam Gorame. I want to see this glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's all the Vaishnava's interest, especially in Kali Yuga. Eka Bhagavata Baro Bhagavata Shastra. There's one Bhagavatam, but Bhakti Rasa Patra. That is the Vaishnava. He's full of bhakti ras, so he's not interested in mystic power. one example, Prabhupada showing some mystic power. I probably mentioned this, but there's many times. One time in Henry Street in Brooklyn, I don't think anybody was there. Maybe Bahushu was there. And Prabhupada came in 72, and what happened was he started chanting Jai Radha Madhava. We'd already been chanting that for several years, but we didn't have a very good tune. And Prabhupada could hear the tune, you know. So he said, Do you know this Jai Radha Madhava? You can hear it on one recording. And everyone says, yes, yes. So Prabhupada started to chant this Jai Radha Madhava. But he chanted in his inimitable way, Jai Radha Madhava, like that. Not like anybody else can sing like that, but he chanted like that. So while he was chanting, maybe Ragatma was there in 72. Were you there when he came? So everybody was crowding around the Vyasasana. Of course, most of the men, but there's some ladies could get up there. But I was back near the deities, a thin room longer than this. And so I didn't see, and people described that Prabhupada was turning different colors. Bibarna, it means turning, and great ecstasy. He was turning different, like light color, then again, astounding everybody, and the tears were shooting out too. Did you see that we were there? And so these things that you read about, of course, Mahaprabhu was like a syringe soaking everyone. Prabhupada wasn't doing that level, but tears were. So in ecstasy, it's like Prabhupada was so many times saying, there's no need to be in Vrindavan. I am going everywhere. Just like here, this says, where am I? Bhuta ashaya bhigya. He knows the heart. Prabhupada knew the heart. And far as I was concerned, yajgyatvana punar moham evam yasasi pandava. After tadvidhi panipatena, famous verse, fourth chapter. One should approach the guru. What is the result? Once getting the knowledge, then he can see Krishna. He'll see that Krishna is everything and everything's in Krishna. So Prabhupada had that level of knowledge. And we're all eligible to get this level. Sarvabhutasya abhigya. Abhigya. So this abhigya word is used for Krishna in the Janmadyasya, first verse. Yato anvayat itarasya. Directly and indirectly. And so we should also, according to the Krishna instructing Lord Brahma in the second canto, that you should search this out in the last verse describing of the nutshell verses, both directly and indirectly. So indirectly means just in case you directly, then do it indirectly, whatever it means, somehow or other, at all times and all places, one should search out Krishna and understand Krishna. So this is what it said here about Kardama Muni. He knew the heart. Tramparyatan arka ivi trilokinan tascharo vayurivatma sakshi. When Vyasadeva, who has not read the fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto, recently, or at any time, anyway, highly recommended, because at the end of the fourth chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto, and Vyasadeva, although he's such a great person, he was feeling despondent. I did something wrong. Snatasya me nyunyam alam bichakshva. He says, Savai Bhavan Veda, he approached, Narada came there. And Vyasadeva, Pujayamasa, he worshipped him just on the level of Lord Brahma, that Narada Muni. So Narada Muni then said, oh, what's the matter with you, Prabhu, that you, the word is used, Prabhu, actually. You prepared the Mahabharata and the Vedanta Sutra and so many things that you have accomplished, but why do you feel undone? Prabhupada used the word undone. So then he said, well, I don't know. You're able to say, Savai Bhavan Veda Samastaka. You know everything. Veda Samastaka. Yet Purusha Purana, because you worship the original person perfectly. Therefore, you can find out any fault that's in me. Tanmulam avyaktam, agadabodham, means you're a man of unfathomable knowledge. Agadabodham. So you can find out the fault. Shishyashteham sadhyamantam prapanam. This is Arjuna. Of course, Arjuna, this word was used for Arjuna, pritosmi, pitosi, several times in the Bhagavad Gita. He's very dear. So here, this word is used for Devahuti, that she was not very satisfied. She saw this palace, but how can I go in this palace? Prabhupada had one example to use in Mayapur, that in a lecture he said that, I think it was in India though, I think in Mayapur, and he said, just like, he was talking about the modes of nature and standards, and just like my disciples, they come from very wealthy, sometimes very wealthy families, opulent, and in India it's maybe not so nice, but even they come here, sometimes Prabhupada would say the opposite thing, he's very clever like that. But even they come here, the standard comes with them. There's the Bengali saying that wherever you go, your face goes with you, your blanket goes with you, your forehead, it goes with you, so your karma goes with you like that. So they're getting opulence. Sometimes Prabhupada would boast that his disciples were very, very renounced. So you just see, they don't require, they come from wealthy families. So this is very clever preaching of Prabhupada, that you can use the same circumstance and say it different from it. Completely different angle, sometimes slightly. So here, I'm thinking of that because Devahuti was thinking, I have this big palace, what am I going to do in this palace? I'm filthy, wretched, you know, dirty, encrusted, hair matted over so many years, full of mud, dirt. You know, what am I going to do in this palace? So here he's saying, don't worry, he can see, I know you're concerned, feeling very upset about it, sad, fearful, whatever. So therefore, abhigasvarat tene brahmahridaya. So there's a big argument going on sometimes, whether the guru is abhigasvarat. Prabhupada said, no, I know what Krishna wants me to know. This became a huge issue at one time. Whether the guru is trikalagya, yeah, sometimes he is trikalagya. So the guru, no. When Prabhupada would look at somebody, then just like, describes here, Bhutashaya abhigya, 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 but understanding the heart. So some of those verses are very wonderful. All of the verses are very wonderful, but as far as this term goes, Narad Muni and Vyasadeva's praising, just see Vyasadeva composed all this Vedic literature. Still, he's respecting Narad Muni on such a level that Savai Bhavan Veda Samastaguhyam. You know everything because you worship Purusha Purana, the greatest person, the original person. Purusha Purana. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhoma, has written the slokas that he is the guru and the Purusha Purana also, non different. Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. He's having this body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he's the guru of all. Guru, like Guru Muni Nam, when Sutta Goswami was giving his respects to Shukadev, he described him also like this, Pravrajantam Anapetam Apet, Krityam Dvaipayana Varahakat Rajuha, Putreti Tanmayatara, Ravobinidu, Tom Sarvabhuta Hridaya Muni Manatosmi, he's Sarvabhuta Hridaya Muni Manatosmi. He can enter the heart of all. One has to be submissive. Then the guru can enter the heart and give knowledge. And it's very practical, directly or indirectly. It means sometimes there's a problem, all day there's problems, and the mind is out of control, and senses are being, then one can bring his mind back. What did Prabhupada do in this situation? What did Prabhupada say in the situation? So we don't have to speculate. We can open the book like we're doing now. Sometimes, many times, you can open the book and exactly that problem is there, solved immediately. As soon as you open the book, oh, wow, I was just thinking about that. It's like you're thinking, wow, these demons are cutting these trees. What did Prabhupada say? By one time, I was thinking that a few years ago. I remember these demons, I know Prabhupada said something about it. And as soon as I opened the book, was that exact purport. Prabhupada said, very sinful, they're cutting trees. Oh my God, this is scary. Or you might turn on a lecture and Prabhupada exactly will say that. That doesn't happen. But in general, directly and indirectly, that's more indirect, Prabhupada will be speaking very transcendental subject matter. and or morning walk, you can open up and he's speaking. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So to understand Bhagavatam, we have to go through this person. And because she's so surrendered, this Devahuti, she's neglecting her body. But suddenly she's like jolted. Oh, I got this big palace, this gigantic, probably just huge mansion. What am I going to do? I don't know. She forgot all about that life when she was a princess. I mean, she might have had a palace, but this is like a floating mansion that can go anywhere. Described later, that's going to go all over the universe, anywhere. We're already hearing how opulent it looks, and it goes on and on for quite a while, describing it and what it does and where it goes. So they were amazed, both of them, that this is going on. So another instance when Prabhupada was talking about exhibiting, just without even knowing it, when we talked about this, we go to buy, they were proposing to buy this Fisher Mansion. So it's very funny that Prabhupada said, he was talking about different opulences and having so many things. He said, when I went there to get this mansion in Detroit, they wanted $350,000, which in those days was quite a bit of money. Nowadays, you know, I heard about one temple where they lost $250,000. Some guy just stole it or something. And he went to another temple in India. Oh, that could only happen in India. That would never happen in America. Anyway, so Prabhupada, it was $350,000. And so Prabhupada said, I did not have even 3 paisa. But it was paid for just like that. And so Prabhupada was like, he's watching. Not greatly astounded, but amazed. I remember being in Mayapur in 74. In those days, there was nothing around. Of course, the building was the only big building in the whole area, practically, from Calcutta going, you know, there was nothing. You know, the Lotus Building was quite a thing. And so from one side of the veranda, you could see across the Jalangi, you could see practically see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And nowadays, there's so many things, you can't see it. Even the air is not that great. And from another side, you could see the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And we used to revel in it, like, wow, Prabhupada, this is the most opulent thing. What could we want? And with Bardraj, and we used to think, why aren't the devotees, like, coming here by the dozens, hundreds, you know, what? They're living, this is the most beautiful place, and Prabhupada Bhajan is playing, and absolute ecstatic with green rice fields and cows. And it was a little austere that we had to eat only this cheap 1 rupee rice. But we didn't mind that either, doing that simple, you know. Like if we got milk, wow, you really want to get that milk. And there were so many bugs in the milk because they would boil it at night because it was at night, you know, boiling milk, hot milk, but bugs would fly in there. So we got used to that. It was a weird thing, but okay, we didn't notice it. You have to suck the milk through your teeth and then spit out the bugs. You know. Sometimes the big moths, a lot of little bugs. Boom, I don't know how it is nowadays. Extra whatever. Yeah, there's boiled in, but we didn't think about this austerity. In the morning, you sweep up. I used to try to paint sometimes in dark, because in the winter it gets dark early, you know. So I want to finish painting, and I have my flashlight, and the bugs were flying on the, so many bugs, and they're hitting the canvas, hitting, so I was pricking on a wall or something, and it pings like that. So, but it's austerity. Just like one time, Prabhupada came out, and I was doing the guard. If anybody would have come, they could have easily killed me or cut my throat. But I was on guard, and in 74, so Prabhupada came out from his room, and I'm sitting by this with the stairs on his floor in the Lotus Building. And he comes out very, you can't describe Prabhupada's mood. Is so, I don't know what the word is, languid, or no word to describe. Ecstatic. And he just came out. And he said, he looked at me, I was sitting down, I paid a visit, and I'm eating this rice, 1 rupees kilo rice, or 2 rupees, I don't know. And it was flat rice, it was breakfast, and I'm just eating, and I stopped. And he said, this is your breakfast? He looked down at me. remember. He said, this is your breakfast. So in your mind, you could, I didn't even think of it, but somebody could have said, Prabhupada, they're giving me this, they're feeding us this junk, you know, it's terrible. I didn't think of it. I just went, yeah. But he just asked that question, but within Prabhupada's question is like everything, you know, the statement that the austerity, he's wishing maybe that we could eat better, but he also, like that. Just, so some things are not meant to make an opinion on, but like that. A couple times I was kind of a devious watching Prabhupada's room, you know, I would go in the back or this window or that window just to see and hear what Prabhupada's saying. Because I thought, this is not going to happen again. You know, Prabhupada's here and that's it. It's over after this. Prabhupada leaves the planet. No one had tape recorder. We weren't taping it. But so often I would go, whenever possible, I would sneak at the window. And so one time I saw they brought him a big maha plate. You know, like 20 preps, 15, 20 preparations, Radha Madhavas, Mahaprasadam. So Prabhupada took a little this, a little that. 3 or 4 preps, 1 bite. Because he also had his own prasadam. So then he said to the leader, sannyasi, so everyone is eating like this? So that's satisfaction enough. If you see Prabhupada say that, it's so cutting, really, you know, to, if you're a leader, you know everyone's not eating like this. But Prabhupada's thinking, how, you know, you're thinking like, okay, I'm giving him this maha plate, and the leaders would get some maha, of course. But they would have to have a full-time guard on the maha. Because we have some devious persons around, like to steal their prasadam. Oh, you're a sannyasi? I think you're getting enough. I think I'll get some. So we had our various ways of procuring. Yang labha chaparam labha manyate narikam tata. 6th chapter of the Gita says, getting this Krishna conscious, one doesn't want anything else. This palace, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, ba jagadish, na rupa raghunatha pare. We're following the footsteps of Rupa Raghunath. That, what were they doing? Not running around looking for Mahaprasadam even. No, Raghunath Das was, in the beginning he was making big, after all, his father and uncle were some of the richest men in all of Bengal, aside from the king. They were maintaining so many Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So when Raghunath Das ran away, they kept trying to keep him. But when he finally went there, then he sent so many men to Jagannath Puri. They came and they said, do you know Raghunath Das? So the devotees were laughing. Raghunath Das, you mean he's the greatest devotee in the world? What are you talking about? So, yeah, we know. So, but he gave money, so he was making big feasts. And Raghunath Das, he was not eating after a while. First he was making big feasts, but after a while, it actually went on for a couple of years. Then one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't see Raghunath Das. I mean, he's not making any big feasts. What's going on? He wasn't demanding any feasts now, Mahaprabhu, of course. But he noted it. No, Raghunath Das. He thought, I'm like a prostitute. What am I doing here? You know, I'm taking my parents' money, my father's money. So after a while, then they said, well, he's just getting, you know, some people are giving out some food and he's taking like that. They get the maha from Jagannath and he'll beg. So Mahaprabhu would see him sometimes. And other times, after a while, no, I'm not seeing anymore. I don't see Raghunath out there. He's not even begging. No, he's gone to the booth. Now he gets him. After a while, he was simply getting that rotten rice. What to speak of 1 rupee's rice? He was getting the rice that the cows were not even eating it. Nobody's eating that. Cows are not even eating that rice. It's like, whoa, think about that for the next 5 million years. And he had to wash it off. It was rotten. Even Raghunath washed it off and put some salt. So when Mahaprabhu heard that, he went running there with his, I think Govinda is chasing, you know. And Mahaprabhu said, no, you're eating a feast, Raghunath. You don't invite me. What feast? You're eating, don't joke, you're eating 56 times at the temple. I know you. that Jagannath Prasad is Jagannath to me, Jagannath. Anyway, so then it is said there, Mahaprabhur Bhakta Gane. What is it, Bhakta Gane? Vairagya Pradhan. Vairagya Pradhan. Pradhan means the principal thing. The principal thing that Mahaprabhu, Jaha Deki Priti Gora Bhagavan. Priti, he is satisfied, happy, just like this word is used. Mahaprabhu is very satisfied when he sees the devotees are renouncing everything. Not that they want a palace or anything like that. So we don't want this palace. Devahuti, and she didn't particularly care, but then when it came, she took advantage of it. Time and place. Desha kalarta yuktani hitapo pashamanicha. So according to time and place, devotees are acting. So in this time, because they're progenitors, it's commensurate. It's fitting that she has this beautiful palace, not a filthy body. And Kardama, he knows sarabhutashaya bhigya. He knows the heart of anyone. So that's, again, Vyasadeva speaking on about Narada Muni. Paritan arka, you can go anywhere in the three worlds. Now, Narada Muni is a special case. Antashcharo vayarivatma sakshi. Antash lokast paryemiya skandita vata. Means that he's unrestricted. It says that again in the first canon, later on. That Narada Muni goes within the material or spiritual world. So Vyasadeva knows that. Antashcharo means he can go in the heart of anybody. Just like the sun also. Arka. Arka means the sun. In Sanskrit, it's so amazing. I have so many words for the sun. Arka is one of them. Marichi Mala, Arka. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. The rays of the sun. He made one book with about 1,200 shlokas describing this Abhideya, Sambandha. So Bhaktivinoda was a very productive person. And he's entering also. When you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, every day we're chanting this song, Hriday Prakashita. Oh, that's Narottam's song. But we're chanting so many Bhaktivinoda songs, so Narottam, that he's in the heart. So Prabhupada's speaking like that. Sometimes he was chastising on Henry Street. He came one time in 74. So the verse was, evam prasanna manaso bhagava bhakti yogata bhagava tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. So Prabhupada could detect there was some intrigue in the temple. Anyone who was around then knows big intrigue was going on. One of the biggest intrigues. And so Prabhupada said, he was speaking on the verse, and he said, so you're singing every day yasya prasada bhagavata only by the mercy of the guru, and the guru song like that. But do you know the meaning? Became very disturbed. He said, no, you must be, if you do intriguing, then your spiritual life will be lost. You may get material thing. Just like the materialists, they want a big palace. They cannot be happy, never happy. Never. Asha pasha shatarabhada. They're bound up by their desires. They want to make a bigger, better. Bigger ballroom. No. You're starving, that's okay. But my ballroom. Yeah, they want big, better. Every day has to be bigger and better, material thing. Never satisfied. This is moha, illusion. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinivitta kama. So, sukaduka sangyar. What is the verse? Sukaduka sangyar. That verse is there, that one has to take good association. Mukta sangasya jayate. Sangha means with those who are mukta, liberated. Then you'll become liberated. That's what the Bhagavad. And you cannot go directly. You must adal guru vashraya, like Devahuti, take shelter of the guru. In this case, her husband is guru. This is the first thing mentioned. Guru tattva, first thing. Without that, then the other tattvas we wouldn't be able to realize. Realize Guru Tattva and become servant of the Guru. Tasmad Gurum Prabhadjeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. And then find out the Shreya. What is the ultimate goal? Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The Guru is giving that. So Sukadeva Goswami, imagine all this knowledge and much more he put in Bhagavatam. Is this a small... We worship Bhagavatam, of course. Our only friend, Maranandam and Namostute, Madbandhu, like as Matsangin, should be our only association, practically. Tadbhab Phara Ishvara. There's no need of any other book. Of course, we read other commentaries, but still, right in the Bhagavatam, it says, what is the need of any other thing? Dharma approaches, everything's kicked out, all nonsense. So we're getting everything in this Bhagavatam. Sukadeva is speaking. He's also Sarvabhutash Abhiga. To some degree, not like Krishna. All right, so any questions?
Thank you, Pushkar. Wonderful class. So you mentioned about hair. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse 70, purport, Prabhupada says, if anyone with long hair or a beard wants to join this Krishna conscious movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. And you're making the point that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. So, yeah. So those are Prabhupada's words. And then also you were mentioning some of the Prabhupada's tears. In New York in 72 or 73 when Prabhupada was there, as you remember, in front of Radha Govinda, the women were on one side and the men were on the other side. So Varanasi, she was one of the powerful women, and she was up front, right across from Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to bow down, the distance was like, you know, from here to Prabhu. And when she went to bow down, Prabhupada was bowing down first, then her sari became sprinkled with his tears. Whoa. She told me that personally.
Wait a minute, Prabhupada was bowing down too?
Well, everyone was bowing down, you know, when Prabhupada...
He just came in the temple room or the deities opened?
No, all the devotees were there.
Yeah, I know, but what was the occasion that he bowed down? Because the deities opened, because the class
was open? Yeah, the deities were open, and then, you know, everyone was there, and as Prabhupada was bowing down, and the tears from Prabhupada sprayed her sari. And then she told me that personally. And then also, when Prabhupada came to Atlanta in 1975, at that time also, when he first came into the temple room and sat down, Dira Krishna and Satyaraj were sitting right in front of him, and they got sprayed with Prabhupada's tears, and they were sort of looking at each other like... And then also, this is recorded on Prabhupada Remembers. Remember Ishan with the trumpet? So Ishan, he was with Prabhupada when in the Bengali colony, Prabhupada was installing Radhaparta Sarthi. And so Prabhupada's facing one way, and Ishan's facing the other way, and the deities are in the middle. And they said that as Prabhupada was there about to pour something, then the tears came shooting out of his eyes, the arm length. And he's just shocked, and he's looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, you know, gave him a look like, get back to what you're doing. You know, so
he got back. Prabhupada installed the deities at that Bengali circle temple in Delhi?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just Bengali colony.
Yeah. It was just an apartment. It was nothing. That was just an apartment. It was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the thing is...
Aditi was the pujari.
So those are just some of the, you know, wonderful pastimes of Prabhupada, you know, crying like that in ecstasy.
Yeah, well, people would say, well, Swamiji, what is your mystic power? Prabhupada said, so these were mleches, drunkards, he mentioned. So now they're clean Vaishnavas, so who is doing like that? So can you... Or when that magician came to see Prabhupada in Vrindavan... And he did so many weird tricks. I don't remember exactly what he did. I wasn't in the room, but he did so many tricks. It was kind of interesting. And Prabhupada said, yes, okay. But can you stop birth and death? He said, that I can do. The magician was like... So sometimes Prabhupada would act in this virya ras that, yes, we have got so many, you know, $100,000 a day or something. Other times he would say, our disciples are living... You know, with no furniture, is simply little austere food like that, sleeping in the vehicles. Other times you say they're very opulent. we've got so much money. Of course, the devotees don't try to enjoy that money, theoretically.
This idea of Jnana Vairagya, that Kardama performed great austerities, and so did Devahuti, but then he gave her a palace and all kinds of luxuries, and they traveled all over the universe, and he expanded himself, and they enjoyed in so many ways. So are we to expect that after so many yajna and austerities, then there's some opportunity for enjoyment, or what?
Tejasam na doshaya. There's no fault in any of what they're doing. One should not imitate it. Poison. Drink the ocean of poison like Lord Shiva. Shivo abdi jam. You know, the verses were there because Parikshit Maharaj asked this question that Krishna enjoyed the rasa dance. So what's up with that? You know, he's not showing a good example. But no, you cannot imitate, Shukadeva said. We don't imitate that. Don't try this at home, as they say nowadays. Don't try that at home. Or you lift Govardhan Hill, then you can drink ocean of poison, then we'll also see. I think Panchagoda should be the first to drink the ocean of poison. Lift the hill, you can lift the hill. It's not so dangerous.
You said Prabhupada's mood at that moment was virya ras. What's virya ras?
Chivalrous. Oh. And sometimes he would, you know, the chivalrous ras is not only for Krishna, but others exhibit it, so Prabhupada would exhibit. He would say about scientists sometime or philosophy, he says, I kick on their head with boot, therefore they must come to me and I'll kick on their head. Now, we don't think Prabhupada was going to really do that, but he's saying sometimes, like, it would. What? He did it?
Kick I didn't hear you. Kick in the face with boot.
Can you give him the mic somewhere? So we, you know, either shout it. I'm a scientist and I'm proud.
You said kick on the face, so if you're going to kick, you know where you're aiming, okay?
Know where to aim, yeah. Okay, yeah, I got it. I'm not doing that, so I don't have to worry about it. But, you know, symbolically, it's like one time on a walk, Prabhupada was diminishing the scientist mentality, and somebody, devotee said, Prabhupada, you're the only one who's speaking like this strongly against scientism. Not science, but those who think science is the ultimate goal or whatever. Prabhupada said, that's because I'm the only intelligent person. And, you know, he wasn't saying it, he just said it nonchalantly. That's because I'm the only intelligent person. So, you know, don't try that. Don't say that. Prabhupada said it one time. But anything else? Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.